Lord, we love you so much. Those words are true, sung from the depths of our hearts tonight, I believe. And Lord, I just pray that you would search and look into our hearts and just receive that love from us tonight, the gratitude that's the worship that is due you, Lord. And just as we pour out our love and our adoration, Lord, we just give you thanks and can't begin to express really how much you mean to us. Lord, you're everything. You're more than enough. We bless your name tonight, Father. As we're here gathered in your name, Lord, we just find that we're just so satisfied, so at rest, so at peace when we're with you, Lord. We begin to just settle down, and then as we release our cares and our worries and our burdens, Lord, and sing our praises to you, and Lord, it's just such a sweetness, such a delight to be with you, Lord. We pray that you would come and minister, Lord, and form the words even in my mouth. Lord, would you express yourself tonight? Be lifted up and feed your people, Lord, once more. And Lord, we do ask for once more, Lord, a stirring and a, Lord, just a fire, Lord, in our hearts. A love for your word. What an hour we're living in. What a day this is, Lord. What a light. It's so beautiful, Lord. You're so beautiful. So we pray that if there's above all else, that you would be lifted up and that love affair would just be rekindled tonight in every heart. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're showing us, Lord. And we just ask you to give us more. Come and again, just be lifted up and feed your people and glorify your name, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Musicians, thank you so much. How's everybody? Blessed. I like that. Amen. Yes, that's right. So Brother Greg is home. He's got the appointment in the morning. Is that right? No, not yet. Okay. Continuing to be in prayer for that and everything. So lots of needs. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, right? So we can say that in so many situations and conditions and circumstances in life. To the natural eye, it may be looks impossible, looks difficult, but God, who is rich in mercy, you know, amen. So, amen, he's faithful, and just think we're living in just such a time. It's pretty interesting watching all the things and the events that are taking place in this hour, I don't know, just the condition of humanity. It's pretty interesting. You see the more and more there's rising up. I think there's hatred and there's calls for violence and people. There's just such a, well, we'll get into that. We're actually going to indirectly kind of touch on that a little bit tonight. But again, just insanity, just as the prophet spoke of and those things. And, you know, what the scripture says, it's true. We're living in a time where kids, you're grown up in a day, then everything's backwards and upside down. Scripture says, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good, that take darkness for light and light for darkness. So it just shows you there's things that are just totally, again, backwards and upside down. And our safety, our rest is in him, in his kingdom. That's where we're going to. So amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So let's just begin tonight. I want to open up with, if you would stand with me, we'll turn to Psalms chapter 1. I know this is a common one, but it's precious, it's wonderful. And verse 1, we'll start. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, there we go. Just savor that word. Hold on to that word for a little while tonight. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. All right, amen. You can be seated. And I just, again, I want to dwell on that thought tonight of just of that delight and that love for the Lord, meditating on his word. And we, you know, we could talk about a lot of things, but if that love isn't there in our hearts, you know, get that love there and everything else begins to fall in place. You know, and I think even young people or really any one of us, you know, if you feel like it's sometimes it's laws and regulations and do's and don'ts and these things and you should and you shouldn't, just go right back to there and fall in love with him. Fall in love with his word and everything else will take its place. I think that's so critical, so key for us always. And really any one of us, every one of us, as we go through our lives, I think we got to stop sometimes and take a little checkup, do some blood work and all that and say, hey, how's my health right now? Is this my desire? Is he still my first love? Is he my everything? Is he my joy? And so that's, again, I'm just from my heart tonight, those things have been on my heart. Many times I think when we minister, you're hearing from us things we're going through, things we're experiencing. And so these were just things the Lord put on my heart. And along with this, so let's just keep this in mind now for as we move forward a bit. Hold that right in your heart. But let's turn back again as we talked about, just let's do a little checkup tonight. Let's examine ourselves. And I'm not going to examine you or you me, but let's just look into our own hearts and see where we stand. Numbers 21. As I was thinking on these things, and I thought, you know, Lord, I think sometimes it feels like this is kind of what we're going through at times. Numbers 21, I'll give you just a minute to get to there. Numbers 21, I'll just read verse 4. It says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. It says here, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And so you can tell there, they just became weary. They became discouraged. And that happens. I think we go through those seasons maybe where we experience those things. And we, you know, we also know that in this day, again, taking it into the end times, the hour that we're living now, Jesus said in Matthew 24, because iniquity will abound, the love of many will go wax cold. Also in 2 Timothy 3, verse 4, says they would be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. So again, we're looking at that love. Is that love, first and foremost, is that what's motivating me and driving me? And we see the conditions and these things spoken in this time. These verses we just mentioned, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And we got to shake ourselves, I think, and wake up and sometimes examine again, just me and you, each one of us, because human nature is to kind of just settle down and relax. So we got to pinch ourselves. We got to stir up and say, wait, is this happened to me? I got a little too comfortable. And I think, again, we don't have to turn there, but in Numbers 32, we were just in Numbers, there's two tribes. They're getting ready. Think about this. This has always just been just so sobering to me. They're getting ready to cross over the promised land, and there's two tribes. And they say, you know what? You guys go ahead. We'll just stay right here. The land is good for us and for our cattle. And I think, what a type, what a danger, what a... just something just so sobering to be like, watch out. You know, the Lord's given us this land, but we're like, We're comfortable right here. And again, you just see human tendency is to just cool down, settle down, relax, and get comfortable. Lord, help us. Examine us. Is he your reason? Is he your passion? Is that delight in his word driving you, motivating you each and every day? And I use that kind of question very specifically. Is it driving you? Is it motivating you? Because we're going to look at some examples in the scriptures, I think, that are just so beautiful to see that, yes, that's what it should look like. It should be a passion, a true passion in us for the Lord, for his word, a passion to pursue, a joy that endures, and attraction that we find in this word every day, an attraction that never ends, an attraction that, if I could say this, motivates us forward. So it's kind of, again, a bit of a self-examination, saying, is the joy of the Lord my strength? Am I in love with him? Am I moving forward? Because that must be the case. So I'm going to read this. I know we've shared this before and it's familiar, but I think this is, again, just, I tremble, I get, it stirs me. This is in the message, what house will you build for me? He says, I know that each one of you, if you feel like I do, I'm so hungry to see the Spirit of God moving. I just can't hardly stand it, he says. Some experiences I've had up in the mountain, just to feel that once again, that something when I was first saved that was so glorious to my heart. And here you go. He says, we can come into a place, we can sit, and we see it among us. We're drying. As I sit here in the desert, I get among my brethren, they talk with me, I talk with them. He said, always in a little bit of watching, feeling out with the Spirit as it was, just the conditions of the brother to see what's wrong. I begin to feel us all reclining, getting away from the Spirit. It's become too natural a thing. He said this. This is, what house will you build for me? This is in 65, November. Right at the end, and he's feeling these things. We're cooling down. He's like, he's hungering for these things. He said, we must worship. Again, it's become too natural a thing for us. We must worship in the Spirit. He says, not only the message should be the flame of the hour, it should be the flame in our hearts. In my heart. Is it the flame in my heart? It's got to be in our hearts, or we can't rightly present it to the people. The Spirit has to pack the message itself. And so he goes on, but I just, again, I think, wow, Lord, help us. Is that passion there? Is that the flame in our hearts? I know another place I came across, it was so simple and so beautiful, but he says, you know, you should never build another fire. How did he put it? Shouldn't build a second fire on the same place that you were the night before, something like that. In other words, keep moving. Don't build another fire there. You were there last night. You better be moving. So again, we check ourselves. They say, Lord, am I progressing? Am I proceeding in love with you? Because if we are in that place, I believe in love with his word, with him, there's going to be that progression. So I mentioned this scripture, but let's go ahead and turn there to Nehemiah. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Nehemiah chapter 8. And this is beautiful. So again, you see this love for the word, that delight in him, in his word, and this is just so beautiful. Nehemiah 8 and verse 8 says, so they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept. Look at that. When they heard the words of the law. and had been restored, and they're weeping. Just now look at, he says, verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy of the Lord is your strength. And again, we each one look and say, Lord, is that my passion? Is that my desire? Is that truly the case? And so I would think, as we look into the scriptures, we can encourage ourselves and see so many testimonies and examples of the men of God, women of God, and we see that really, that passion, that joy of the Lord becomes something that's perpetual, that never ends. You've come in contact with him, you've tasted, and it continually drives and propels, and it just never ends. So let's look at a few simple, common things, but I'd like to kind of fit it into this tonight, this thought. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And verse 6, I mean, we could read all of this, it's so beautiful, but just the simple verse there, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I could be wrong, I don't know, but I believe there's so many ways we could look at this, and I think that's blessed hunger and thirst. Yes, he does fill you, but guess what? When he's filled you, you want more. And then you want more, and then you want more. So this hunger is something that stays with you. It's a gift from him. It's a blessing, and it continues. It continues, and it continues. It's just wonderful. John chapter 4. Yeah, exactly. All right. So we know this is so beautiful, but we'll just drop into verse 10 there. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. For from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give shall be where? In him, in you, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It's constantly just one thing after another, and that's the beauty of that relationship and that experience of him, that it's something in you that continues, it never ends. Oh my, I just love that. What a blessing these things are to have from him. So again, we're just thinking of the joy of the Lord tonight, and that love for him, passion for him, for his word. And I believe that we can, even though we maybe go through seasons and we, like the children of Israel, that things are, that the going gets tough, but we can encourage ourselves and we can remind ourselves of these things, and it's a blessed experience. Brother Branham said in the Message Countdown, I love this. He says, you know, he says, Father, so many things could be said here that maybe the church wouldn't understand, but he says, I pray that you'll give them such a crave for it. Oh, I like that. Give them such a crave for it. Now, why would he say that? That's our Holy Spirit saying, hey, I've got more for you. I always have more for you. Come, partake, feed, fill yourself. He says that they'll come and they'll see we're at the end time, the astronaut age, Father. He says, I pray that they'll realize it isn't condemning what they have. It's only trying to give them more. He has more. And that's what we need to remember. Every day that we're here, he has more. Take another step in love, in faith, and keep moving. He says it isn't trying to condemn what they had. It's only trying to give them more rapturing grace. There you go. I love that word, that term, rapturing grace. For the hour will come when they'll have to have a rapture power, not only to heal the body, but to change it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He says, now here we go. Christ will be so real into their bodies. I like that. Till he can change it by his great death, that and what he purchased. Whoa, did you just went over that real quick? That was beautiful. Did you hear that? He's purchased. He's paid for it. Christ will be, let me just read that again, so real into their bodies till he can change it by his great death and what he purchased. Does he just tell us it's paid for and it's going to happen? Sure sounds like it to me. May they take this today, that token that I spoke of last night, and hold it before them and walk out into this astronaut. He says, where visions, powers, and worlds beyond. He says, oh God, where all these great mysteries of God is unfolded in those seven seals and made known to man. Let's enter into that. So he, again, this is just beautiful. He's saying, come, partake. Give the church, he's crying out, you know, such a crave for these things, such a longing and a thirst. He has more for us. So again, we examine ourselves. Am I getting settled down? Am I cooling down? Is that first love still there? Is that passion and that hunger? Lord, help us. Another place he says, this isn't what hearest thou, Elijah. He says, oh, what we need in this journey that we're in right now is to find a place of rest and to feast on the word of God so that'll give us strength. Feast on the word of God so it'll give us strength. Night after night, go into the room, rest, come back the next morning fresh and eat more. For there's a great journey and a great battle ahead for the church. He says, we've been children long enough. God's going to turn his church into manhood now. He's saying again, come, you frolic. The church has been immature, but he's we got to put away these childish things and take on manhood, maturity. So again, let's go into that place. Come and feast on the word. It'll give us that strength. Amen. Love these things. Let's look back in the Old Testament. I'm just going to turn back to Exodus chapter 3. And I want to look at a couple examples. And I see this beautiful picture here with Moses and Paul. You'll know right where we're going. Exodus chapter 3. Let me get there. And again, I think that we've been looking at so much recently, seeing, recognizing the word in your day, recognizing him. And when you see, when you recognize, something happens. Something happens that gives you purpose, gives you power, gives you motivation, if I could put it that way. We're not in a carnal sense, but in a real, deep, meaningful sense. And so as we think on these things and we look at that joy of the Lord and that love of the Lord, We look at these examples. Let's read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. The bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. So there's that there, right? What happened right there? Something happened. So he saw it, never left, and we'll continue to move on, but there was an experience he had. And of course, it goes on. He talks with the Lord. That never left him. Isn't that beautiful? Think of that. So if we fast forward, there's so much more we could touch on here, but let's turn ahead to chapter 33, same book. And let's just, again, with this, all of this is beautiful. Let's start with verse 8. It came to pass when Moses went out of the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered the tabernacle, cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. Beautiful. Lord, and the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned, I love this, verse 11, he turned again into the camp. But look at this, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not. He didn't. He stayed right there. I think that's what we need sometimes. We need to stay behind. We need to linger in the presence of the Lord. And I think, you know, who was Joshua? What did he do? He was the one the Lord used to take them over. What did that have to do? What was his experience, that time that he had in the presence of the Lord? And that's so key for us. And just keep reading a little bit. Verse 12, Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in my sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation as thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. He said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? And let's just drop down a little bit here, actually. And well, no, let's keep reading. Sorry, we're close. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And verse 18, I just love this. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And I just think that's so striking, so awesome. Here we read back in the beginning of Exodus that first attraction, that first encounter, and he saw and he turned aside. He saw that pillar of fire and he met the pillar of fire and he talked with the pillar of fire and never left him. But you know what? After how long, after how many years, whatever this was, we don't know, but he's still saying, Lord, show me glory. Show me your glory. So we can just see this in the scriptures, that reality of that well of life bubbling. There's more, there's more, there's more. Take another step, take another step. And in love with him. Amen. Just so beautiful. Okay, over now into the New Testament, I said, well, we'll look at Paul as well, because we see kind of the same, similar pattern, at least in Paul, Philippians chapter 3. And I just think this, Philippians 3. And I wanted, let's see if I can, so we'll just start with verse 8. And I want to get this from a different translation. We'll go ahead and says, yea, but doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. Think of that. Not us. We just glide right over that. But all I count all things but loss for the excellency. What riches? What excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So here he is. What has he already gone through? What has he witnessed? What has he experienced? And yet we see that same pattern of pressing forward. I want more. I want more. Give me more. And I just, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I were already attained or were already either already perfect, but I follow after. There we go. If that I may apprehend that for which I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but with this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Boy, we need to do that. That's a tough one sometimes. Forgetting those things which are behind. and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now look at this, verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. So I think that, let me just a second here. This is in the T-Cent. I wanted to reread that. Verse 13 and 14, because I think. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, here we go. Therefore, all of us who are mature should adopt this mindset. And if you adopt something different. So again, I think that's still striking that he's referring to maturity and that same approach and that same heart of pressing forward and striving and pursuing those things. And even just a few more here. Let's turn to one more example. So does this make sense? I hope that love, Hebrews chapter 12, I'm sorry. Let's turn there. The joy of the Lord and that passion that motivates and that love that motivates the pleasure of the Lord. That first love. Okay, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, there we go, the joy that was set before him. Think of that, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that was before him. That, you know, he endured for the joy that was set before him endured. So it's through that, again, seeing, beholding, partaking of this word, of this light, of this hour, in love that motivates, that drives, that progresses us. Amen. We're going to just turn to a couple psalms now. Psalms 16. There's so many. There's just picking out a few here, but we'll turn to Psalm 16. And again, this is... we'll start in verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Here we go, kids. Here we go, adults. Here we go, everybody. Verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. Where is in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures. In his presence is fullness of joy. So we connect the dots and we say, okay, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And where is the joy of the Lord? It's in his presence. We just read that. How are we getting his presence in the light and the word and the hour of this day? All these things, deep calling to the deep, right? As the Psalms also says. Amen. Just a couple quotes here. This is in the uniting time and sign, but the church, the bride, is united under one God, under one Spirit, the Spirit of God, in one holy union of God to be one holy bride. He says that's right, all together, the unity of the body. The body waiting as a bride, as it is the bride, as we call ourselves the bride, for the uniting time. He says the church is so coming together, it should create just a love among us. We could hardly be away from one another. That's right. When you don't have to beg people to pray. Here we go. Don't have to beg people to pray. Don't have to beg them to worship God. You don't have to beg them to do what's right. They're just so in love with him. There we go. She's nearing the end. She's getting to close to uniting with her groom, her headship. She's just so in love with him. So there's nothing else, he says. Amen. And he says, now this is a different spot in perfect faith, but a similar thing. He says, now we become anointed with the same Spirit, anointed Messiahs of the last day. Wow. I don't know. I read that and I just think, Thank you, Lord. I mean, I hope we don't just take that for granted. We become anointed with the same Spirit. Anointed Messiahs, Messiahs of the last day, to shine forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to show that he's not a dead, but in the form of the Holy Ghost, he's in his people. He's in his people, moving in his bride with a love affair. See, it's a love affair. Pouring out into her himself. They're becoming one for the wedding supper and the same signs promised by the same God. Same word is making the same manifestations. There's a little people, a small little group of people who's heard his voice and they love that voice and they're attracted to that voice and that voice means everything to them. And nothing is despised in this day, hated, I don't think, more than this message, but everybody runs away. There's a small group of people running to it that is in love with it, that loves this word, that loves his voice, and it's everything. They're attracted to the word. They've been magnetized to it. They're energized by it, and they're being changed. That is priceless. Thank you, Lord. The message, the token musicians, you can come. The token message, he says, and he will appear the second time to all those who love his appearing. Think of that. Who love and are longing for it. Love his appearing. And how we ought to love one another, because we're fellow citizens of the same body. We should have love one for another. So it's that beautiful picture of just in love with him. So again, we look into these things and we say, okay, Lord, where am I? Is this the joy? Is this the rejoicing? Is that word? Is it truly a delight? Do I delight in that law, in his word? Do I meditate day and night? We each one look in at ourselves and say, okay, Lord, if I'm not there, help me, Lord, revive, stir up. Even David, we know, prayed, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And Brother Ram said so perfectly, he didn't lose it, but he lost that joy. And so sometimes we have to go into that self-examination and say, Lord, restore that joy to me. And I know so many times we're singing a song, we're worshiping the Lord, and I think we all can identify with this. Maybe I don't feel exactly what that song is saying, and I don't maybe feel quite where I should be. But you know what? I'm going to raise my hand in confession and say, Lord, that's where I want to be. So Lord, help us, each one, would we do that. And just in closing, one more scripture here in Jeremiah 15, he says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. I think that's pretty neat. Did he have a little precursor, something of what John saw in that open book where it says, take and eat? Because he says, your words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was rules and regulations. No, your word was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I'm called by thy name. Amen. Don't you love him? I pray these things are a blessing to you. And again, this is just things I've been meditating on, and I hope it's helpful or encouraging or stimulating to somebody out there, but I just wanted to share these things and meditate on these things tonight. And let's just worship the Lord. There's a song I had. Anybody have a song? I had let's just stand. How about just fill my cup, Lord? I lift it up, Lord, because that's what he wants to do. He has more for every one of us. I believe that. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Sing it once more, just that chorus. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Amen. I love that, and I just can't help but think, you know, of Brother Branham. He would say, how great is your desire? What's that hunger? How much do you want him to fill it? Well, guess what? You couldn't even put a number on or measure the amount that he wants to fill. That's right. So just remember that. Let's sing it one more time. Thank you, Lord.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
Amen. I love you, Lord.
Love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears.
Amen. Sing it one more time.
I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King. Sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Nadia. Amen.
Sitting at his feet, that is where my life is complete. Sitting at his feet. sitting at his feet, sitting at his feet. That is where my life is going, sitting at his feet.
Let's try that one more time. That, you know, I just want to encourage you as we close, just remember one thing. Well, remember more than one thing. He is supremely good, and he is supremely in control. When we begin to question or doubt either of those, then your enemy is at work. So you remember these things. He is supremely good, and he is supremely in control, and he has more for you tonight. Keep moving. Keep going. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just commit ourselves now into your hands the remainder of this evening. Lord, we pray your word would go forth and just that you would encourage your people. Work in each heart as they have need of, Lord, and just be glorified and lifted up. And we commit ourselves, Lord, and all things into your hands, giving you praise and glory. In Jesus Christ's name. God bless you.